My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Now, what I want to talk to you about this morning, I believe, is extremely important for somebody who's trying to reach out to God and connect with Him. I don't know if you've ever needed to just touch God and connect with Him. There are barriers in the way of that, if you did not know. And not necessarily barriers that come from within you. There are barriers that come in the atmosphere and the environment around you. People, things, spirits, the enemy is there to resist that. Because he knows if you touch him, it can be a radical transformation for your life. Radical transformation for your life. That just one touch of the Master's hand can change everything in your life right now. But one of the barriers that hinders people or keeps them from connecting with God is that for some reason or another, they feel like He's so far away. That this is where I am, and this is where God is, way over here, and there's just no way I can connect with Him because I can't measure up to God's idea of what a saint is supposed to be. I'm so far away from that, there's just no way I can bridge that gap. But I like what Jesus told one scribe in Mark chapter 12, verse 34, when he answered discreetly question that Jesus asked him. Statements that Jesus was making and his response was correct. And he said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom." And I love it when the apparently in Acts 17, 27, that they should seek the Lord. I think you ought to go ahead and try. Even though you're that far away, I think you ought to just go ahead and reach out. They might feel after him. Mars Hill's sermon is worth preaching again, okay? From the Apostle Paul here today, but yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. And find him. You're not just going to, because he's not very far from every one of us. Now, I believe that's the inspired word of God right there. I have come to tell you that he's not very far from you. And you're closer to your transformation than you think. And you need to recognize that. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 21 will give you some of that thinking that we've got to defeat. I want to see you reach out and touch God. I want him in your life. I want to introduce you to Jesus today. Life I want him to do. I like it when Ezekiel said, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land?" I've had a lot of people tell me that. I've heard it for so long, and it hadn't happened yet. It's failed. Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, and I'm going to just repeat Ezekiel. "I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision, for there shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak, it shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days..." I've just come to give somebody this hope here this morning that God is about to fulfill his promise in your life, and it's now. Oh, rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say the vision that he seeth is for many days yet to come, and he prophesies of times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. The word I have spoken shall be done. You really are closer to your breakthrough than you realize. And it's all right if you're hurting. Go ahead and reach out. Well, I don't think I can touch it. Reach out anyway. That's what he was telling them in Mars Hill. I'm just saying it at First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. Reach out. See what the Lord will do. Would you just put your Bibles down, your iPads and your Samsungs and all of that? Would you just lift your hands to the Lord, and would you just bless God, and would you just magnify the King? Let the Spirit of the Lord minister to you this morning and reach out. Just try to reach, feel after, if haply you might feel after him and find him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, let your hand be on us right now. Let your voice be heard in this house. Let your voice be heard in this house. I dismiss every spirit of fear and resistance and cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God today. I loose that promise and that vision in this place and allow your purpose to be fulfilled in this house right now. What you have spoken, that word in due season, it cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. Let the wind blow in the house, Lord. That we would have a breakthrough in this region and in this area. Every demonic spirit and every curse and every sickness be bound in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I know that if you feel so far away from God, I can understand that emotional disconnect that people feel at times because of pain or tragedy or hurt or loss or grief. These things can be a hindrance to you in order for you to keep you from connecting with God, because the enemy knows that if you do touch him, things will change. Your perspective will change. Your thinking will change. Your heart will change. I like what happened in Ezekiel's life. The Bible said many times in the book of Ezekiel, he said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And every time the hand of God came on him, the Bible says, and he moved me. 15 times, as a matter of fact. Because if the hand of God gets all on you, God can move you into position. You might be here and God way over there, but if the hand of the Lord comes on you and you touch his hand, he can move you instantly wherever he wants you. See, here's the deal. You don't have to get yourself there by yourself. You say, there's no way I can change all the mess I've made, and there's no way I can change everything about myself. Sure you can't. If you could have, all you need to do is go to college or go to school somewhere and learn some self-help technique, and you can get out of whatever mess you're in. But you can't do it without the help of the Lord. You can't deal with sin without the help of the Lord. But I'm so glad you're not stuck. Listen, the devil has lied to some of you and told you that you're stuck and that there's no way you can be moved from point A to point B. But I have come to tell you the hand of the Lord is in this place. and you're not very far from it. And if you'll just start reaching out and just feeling after him, and just maybe if you touch the hand of God, God can move you into position, because that hand will provide. There's provision and promotion and protection when that hand comes upon you. And when he places that hand on you, he will remove that secret sin that's keeping you from touching God. He will repair the damage that has been done in your life. And then all of a sudden you'll realize God does have something planned for me. And that's what you need to be convinced of. That's one of the reasons why people don't even reach out. Listen, I've messed it up so much. There's no way that I could ever come out of this, and God doesn't have anything planned for me. That's a lie from hell. If the hand of the Lord comes on you and moves you into position, you'll find out God still got a whole lot planned in your life. But you got to hear his voice. That was many times in Ezekiel, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, can you hear God talking to you today? Can you hear the word say, well, I don't know, I can't hear God. Can you hear me? Now, if you can hear me, lift your hand. Now, if you can hear me, you can hear God. Why? Because I'm not preaching something new. I'm not preaching my own sermon here today. I'm borrowing from the Apostle Paul and telling you that he's not far from any one of you right now. You can connect with him, and God can change everything in your life. It's that hope that keeps driving me. It's that promise that keeps me focused and connected with Jesus, even when I don't feel all of the fuzzy feelings. And there's just sometimes you don't feel the fuzzy feelings. There's just too much going on. How many of you got too much going on? And how many of you are the too much going on? You're just too much. Have you ever told somebody, man, you're just too much? How many of you got some high maintenance people in your life? It's good to have Brother Abe here. I'm not mentioning anything there. High maintenance people. I love you, Brother Abe, I really do. Just high maintenance people. And they always got something going on, and they're always too much. Well, we all have too much going on, but that doesn't change the fact that God still loves you. That doesn't change the fact that God's just as real in this service as he's ever been in any service anywhere on this planet. That doesn't mean God can't visit you right now in this house and deliver you from whatever is binding you. He can deliver you, and you can find Jesus in this place. Can you hear the voice now? I said, can you hear the voice? Now, here's the problem. We got too many listeners versus hearers. And if you're just listening to the voice, listening is not good enough. You got to hear it. And so if you don't hear it, then you're not really going to receive from it. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 11:15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hearing demands a response. Hearing demands action. Hearing demands that you have faith. Hearing demands that you say, I'm not just going to be a spectator here. I'm going to feel after him, and I'm going to do what I can to connect with him. You need to get your head in the game. You need to get in the house right now and say, I'm not going to live like this for the rest of my life. This is what God is doing for you. He has sent me, anointed of the Holy Ghost, to speak this prophetic word in your spirit. And if you'll do more than just listen to it, but if you'll respond in faith, now, this truth will make you free. Not tomorrow, not next week, not tonight when Brother Capitella gets here. Now, there will be a powerful transformation in your life, but you got to connect to it now. You got to say, devil, I'm not going to let you steal this word from my spirit. Jesus can help me today. You can turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord's going to help you right now. Turn to him and say, the Lord's going to help you right now. Now, here's why people feel like the vision is failing. Here's why. Here's why that says every vision faileth. That's what they were saying in the land. They had a little attitude about God and all the things he was saying, and none of it was coming to pass. And God even acknowledged that in the text that I read to you, that he even admitted it wasn't coming to pass, and he was delaying it on purpose just to aggravate them. He was delaying it on purpose. And they were saying that every vision faileth. They had gotten such an attitude about it. They said everything God says is not going to come to pass and every vision faileth. Here's the reason why they were saying that. And this is what you got to understand. Is if you're not prepared for the war that comes with the word, you won't get it fulfilled. I've never received a word from God I didn't have to fight for it. I've never heard from God. I've never had a move of the Holy Ghost anywhere on this planet that I didn't have to go through a battle and a war in order to defeat whatever it was that was trying to stop it. But thank God, I've already won the victory through Jesus. I wish somebody could just learn how to stand even when it seems like it's not working. Just go ahead and stand on the truth. And I know it's very easy for us to challenge God's integrity and challenge his credibility. And we question whether or not God ever spoke to us or whether the word was true or whether the person that spoke to us. They were battling this cultural phenomena back in Ezekiel's day. And guess what? It sounds just like United States of America, American church today. People are questioning the credibility of God's word, of whether or not he's actually going to do what he said he was going to do. Well, I've heard it all my life. Well, I've heard it all my life that Jesus is coming back. He hasn't come yet, but he's coming. I've heard all my life that the Holy Ghost is being poured out upon all flesh. And it's happening now. Guess what? It can happen this morning for somebody who believes the word of God and who knows that it is true. You say, but I've heard this all of my life and I haven't seen nothing happen yet. If you've been preaching this so long and you've been declaring it, but I haven't seen it happen like I want to see it. But that doesn't mean every vision faileth. And that doesn't mean that it won't happen now. And today might be the day. But if you're not going to fight for the word, it's never going to come to pass in your life. The word fails when you don't fight for it. But I say in the name of Jesus, devil, you can't have these people today. They're reaching, they need a touch from the hand of God. They are far from you, Lord, but they're not too far that you can't reach them. For the arm of the Lord is not short that he cannot save. He can reach you. Say, I've messed up too much. You might have messed up a lot, but you're not messed up too much. Because I've got a God that can fix anything. I got a God that can do anything. Does anybody believe that today? He's in this house. He's ready to bless you. But here's the trouble. Here's another thing. We don't like the war, but this is what happens, and this is what keeps us from fighting in the battle, and this is what you've got to remember. They developed what they called a proverb. That means they said it so much that it became like the word of God to them. Oof. You can say something to yourself so much that you start believing it even though it's wrong. Can anybody attest to that? You don't have to lift your hand. We got one person that's going to go to heaven today. Praise God. And they just kept saying every vision faith, man, God ain't never going to do this. I've heard it all my life and I just hadn't seen nothing and it ain't going to happen. And bless God, I don't even know if it's ever going to happen. And they just kept saying it and saying it. Even God called it a proverb, put it on equal standing of the proverbs of scripture. They made their opinion about the circumstance equal to the word of God. Now, when you get your opinion equal to the word of God, you have just stepped out of the realm of reality into a whole new dimension. Now, You're creating your own God. You're creating your own word. Listen, this word trumps whatever you've been through. They kept saying it. So what I'm wanting to do here today, and if you'll allow me for just a few more minutes, I want to change what you say. And so I'm going to sort of teach you how to say the right thing so that I don't just send you out of here rebuking you because you said the wrong thing for so long. And I don't want you to say the wrong thing and keep saying it till you get everybody else to believe in it, even though it's not true. But you just say it again, and you say it again, and you say it again. And you notice that when they were speaking the proverb, the first time you heard the proverb, it was in the land of Israel. And then the second time you heard the proverb, it was in the house of Israel. Listen, what the land is saying, that's not what we say in the house. That's book. And you can pick up what CNN is saying and keep repeating all of that trash, and then you start believing everything they're saying out there in the world. What they're saying in the world is not true. They're manipulators, master manipulators. They study it. They've learned it. They know how to intimidate, bully, and manipulate people. I want to get back to the one thing that I know is sure. I said, this is sure. This is a sure word of prophecy. God said he's never going to leave you nor forsake you, Trish. And I'm just going to stand on the word of God and believe it. And I'm going to let every devil in hell know I might go down with that word. But that's the word. The Bible says I'll never leave you. Jim, God's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He said, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. Corey, he said, I'll never fail you, nor leave you, nor forsake you. That's the word of God, Corey. I'm going to stand on it. I may have to fight for that. The devil may challenge it. Come on, Ryan. God's not going to fail you. He's going to see you through. How do you know that? I'm standing on something more solid than what the land says. This is the word of the house. Hallelujah. So if you keep saying things, and this is what you have to learn. What you say attracts spirits to you. That's the reason why people, you got to watch what you say, because what you're saying is opening you to demonic attack. I am thoroughly convinced that most of the attacks that we have, we've opened the door to them by what we've said. I'm just reminding you of that. And so we need to change what we say so that we don't open ourselves to hell's slick propaganda campaign. Because hell's slick, man, they have learned how to say things just right. And so you've got to understand that I'm not going to allow God to be hindered in this house when I know what the book says. The devil knows he can't stop God. If God says it, I can promise you, he can do it. But what he wants you to do, he wants to influence your thinking so you will abort what God is doing. Because the devil has always been in charge of all abortions. He's the God of abortion. He wants you to abort the promise. He can't stop God, but he can keep you from connecting with it. But I tell you, whoo, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody fixing to fight, and we're going to win this battle. Woo! This proverb, the days are prolonged, is fixing to change. We're fixing to say, now's the time. Today's the day. Quit telling me it's taking too long. Quit telling me every vision faileth. Your waiting can turn into doubt if you're waiting in the wrong spirit, saying the wrong thing while you're waiting. You got to say the right thing while you're waiting, because everybody waits. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not new. You say, well, I don't know whether it's new. Well, let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. And I want to give you exactly what you need to say. Huh? Habakkuk 2, 3 through 4. Habakkuk was confused. He was upset because God had chosen the Babylonians to judge Israel for their sin. He turned them loose. He allowed them to operate unchecked. They were able to be as brutal and as cruel as their spirit would allow them to be in judging Israel for her sin. And he didn't understand that. He said, these people are more wicked than anything we've ever done, and you have used them to judge us. And he didn't understand it. He said, what in the world are you doing? And he didn't know. He said, I'll tell you what I will do. I'm going to go to my tower. Now, that's a good place to go. And I'm going to wait till you answer me. I'm not leaving this tower till I get an answer. And God showed up and answered him. And Habakkuk is the answer that you've been looking for. And I just want you to come into a spirit of, I'm going to say this, and war with these words. And that's how we war. We don't war with anything other than the word of God. You don't have anything else, church. Because if you start using your opinion on the devil, he doesn't care. He don't care what you think. He's going to go do what he wants to do, whatever he's got permission to do. But he cannot challenge or change the word of God unless he can get you to saying it differently than what it was said. He can just change one word and start messing. He messed us all up with Adam and Eve, changing one word of what God said. So I want to get back to the book, find out what it said, and I want to say the same thing. This is what it says in Habakkuk. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. And that's what I want you to say. The first thing, it shall speak and not lie. The end of the thing is that it shall speak and not lie. That means that what God has said is true. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's the truth. It's the truth. It shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. We'll say, I've been in waiting mode for a long time. Keep on waiting. That's right. But you weren't saying the right thing while you was waiting. So that's why you're still waiting. So you got to change what you're saying, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. And that's what you've got to recognize right now. You got to start saying, it's now. It's now. It's now. It's now. In my evangelistic campaign, I saw a lot of people that had been seeking God for the Holy Ghost for many years receive it. I mean, I can't tell you how many people throughout America and the different revivals that we've had where people that have been seeking God for 20 and 30 years. And here's what I did. I didn't pray any harder. I didn't fast anymore. I didn't shake them any harder. I didn't throw them in the floor. I didn't do any of that. Here's what I did. I changed what they said. I told them, I said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to say this to 7 people today. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. Said, I'm tired of you telling me you've been seeking God for 20 years. That's ridiculous. You tell me, this is the promise. I'm not standing on any emotion. I'm standing on the word of God. The Bible says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is non-negotiable. That is a fact. All I got them to do is to say it's now. You've been saying, Brother Kinsey, I've been praying for 20 years. I want somebody to stand up and say it's now. It's now. Some of you have been praying for God to give you a plan and a purpose. I want you to stand up and say now, right now. Now, it will not tarry. It will not tarry. It will not tarry. It will not tarry. Woo! Change your vocabulary. You got to carve it in your mind. You got to imprint it upon your heart. You have got to say, it will not tarry. It shall come to pass. It will be fulfilled. and the just shall live by. Now, I've been waiting for a long time. No, don't tell me how long you've been waiting. Now, you need to get into the now. Not tomorrow. Oh yeah, when we have this revival, then we're going to do it. No, now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It didn't say tomorrow faith. It didn't say yesterday's faith. Can anybody say I want to get you in the now. I said, well, what if it doesn't happen if I say now and I have to wait another day? Say now, tomorrow. Because tomorrow is today when it gets here. It's not today now, but it will be tomorrow. And then when tomorrow is today, say now. Now. Most of the people that got the Holy Ghost had to do that the entire revival. And almost every one of them got it on the last night. I guarantee you probably 80% of them got the Holy Ghost on the last night of the revival. You know why? Because they had programmed their mind. And they had programmed doubt into their spirit. And their waiting was not waiting, it was doubt. And this is what I found. Hey, I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I've done this. We've all done it. My waiting was doubt. And it was not waiting. I'm waiting, yes, but it's doubt because I'm not speaking the right thing. So I had to change what I've... And boy, that's hard to do when you're down. Now, when you're up or when you're in church and the choir's singing, and it's easy to do that. It's easy to say, you know, what you need to say. And somebody's telling you what to say, and you feel obligated, you know, to participate at least somewhat in the service. And so you feel a certain level of obligation, so you say now. But then when you're out there and it's tough and there's no evidence whatsoever that God's going to do anything he said he was going to do in your life, it's very difficult. But he stayed in that tower till God visited him and God gave him the answer. It will not tarry. He first of all said it's appointed for a long time and it will tarry. And then he turns around and says, it will not tarry, but it will surely come to pass. And that's because Habakkuk finally caught the vision that what God was doing was God's doing, not the Babylonians. They're not in charge. God's in charge. And when he got that, I really sense in the Holy Ghost here this morning, there are going to be breakthroughs all over this place. Chains are just literally going to snap and fall off of every last one of you that will do what I have told you to do today. Now, I don't know what you've been praying for, what you need to connect with God for, but I want our intercessors to come first, and I want them to line up and get in their place. Because people are here who love you and want to pray with you because God wants to minister to you now. Not tomorrow, now. And you don't, all you need to do is speak it. Say it. Do it. And God will help you here today. I want you to step out from where you're standing and are sitting or in the balcony, wherever you might be, and I want you to step out and I want you to walk and I want you to just come and present yourself to the Lord and come find someone here that you need to connect with to pray that they will pray with you and that they will minister to you. Say, well, I've been saved or I've had the Holy Ghost for a long time. It doesn't matter. God still wants to convince you and to help you and to strengthen you and to show you that he is able to do now, what he has promised. And that is the key to everything. That is the key to your victory. That is the key to your strength. that is the key to you locating and finding. Not just feeling after Him, but finding Him. Not just seeking Him and saying, well, I'd like to find God, but it's actually finding God. I want you to find Him. I want you to connect with Him. I want you to step forward. I want you to believe God. I want you to trust in Him. Yes. Bring your troubles, your sorrow, your difficulty. Bring it. Now, you may not know the plan God has for you yet, but if you can walk up here and say, now, thou art not far from the kingdom. He's not far from any one of us. If the word is true, you need to act on that. It's not, is it true? It's, can I get you to act on it? Can I get you to do what Habakkuk said?
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.